What has the reaction been inside Pakistan? The Pakistani military has spoken of avenging this attack by wiping out the Pakistani Taliban. The Pakistani government reinstated the death penalty in a vow to bring the perpetrators to justice. Opposition figure Haider Abbas Rizvi, senior leader of the MQM party, the fourth largest party in Pakistan, has called for the Taliban to be held accountable. Here he is speaking in the city of Karachi.
We demand the Prime Minister take a serious consideration towards the subject and take Taliban to task. This is about time that we need the national unity on the subject, and we need to take on Taliban by now because enough is enough.
But looking more closely, does national unity elude Pakistan even as it grieves? Here with more is Akhil Shah. He's the author of The Army and Democracy, Military Politics in Pakistan, currently a visiting professor at Dartmouth University. He grew up in Peshawar and still has family there where this attack took place. First of all, your feelings, Akhil.
Well, it's a day of mourning, tragedy and grief. I know people who've lost their loved ones. So really, it has sent a deep shockwave throughout Pakistan because, you know, Pakistan has had terrorist attacks before, but nothing of this atrocious scale where, you know, Taliban militants went into a school and picked up targeted children and shot them in cold blood.
And these are Pakistanis attacking other Pakistanis. What would you say are the divisions that are underscored in the wake of this attack, if there are any?
So the attackers could be from groups allied with the Taliban. For instance, they have carried out attacks on behalf of the Taliban. The Uzbek terrorists from the Islamic Movement of Uzbekistan who are holed up in Waziristan and other tribal areas. The divisions are run deep, especially in between the civilian government and the military, which makes a concerted effort to tackle terrorism very difficult. And then within the civilian elite, there are deep disagreements between the former cricketer Imran Khan, whose party now heads the coalition government in the province where this attack took place. And he has taken a kind of apologist cheerleading position for the Taliban and has been in favor of negotiations. But we've seen that negotiations haven't really worked in the past, and the Taliban have used peace agreements with the government to actually entrench themselves more deeply, to reorganize and regroup. And, you know, to kind of start reattacking the Pakistani state and its institutions and, above all, its society.
Does Imran Khan have is he under some pressure to react here, to basically suspend his negotiation strategy? How closely are people watching Imran Khan right now?
Yes, I think there's been an outrage because just after the attack, one of the senior leaders of that party was again kind of obfuscating and saying, we don't know who these people are, we don't know where they come from. So there was a reaction to it, and I think Imran Khan, which is why you see him sitting next to the prime minister, he has been adamant and kind of committed to overthrowing in the last few months. So you saw him in the all-parties conference that Prime Minister Sharif called. And so I think he thinks it's important to show unity at this point. With the government. I don't know how sincere that is. Even in the press conference, he was worried more about the fact that the protest that he was carrying out was about rigging and electoral rigging. So even on a day of national mourning, he couldn't really put it past behind him to talk about the difference he's had with the government.
Let's try to get into the mind of someone in Peshawar right now. Now, we can't speak for actual militia. I mean, an analyst who we talked with this week have described the entire region around Peshawar as under the grip of a jihadist machine of various groups, including the Taliban. If you're a militia leader in the Peshawar area right now, are you saying to yourself, this will blow over? If you're a cynic, a civilian cynic in Peshawar, are you saying, oh, well, don't expect the government to help me now? Or are you saying, finally, the cavalry will arrive?
I certainly hope that this is a moment of transformation for Pakistan. If this doesn't unite the Pakistani military and civilian leadership against the Taliban, and not just the Taliban, herein lies the problem. The Pakistan military has pursued a well-known policy of differentiating between the good and the bad Taliban. And the prime minister, I think, made it a point today saying no more drawing distinctions between the good guys and the bad guys. And I think that goes to the heart of the problem here. The Pakistan military thinks that it can fight some terrorists that attack Pakistan, Pakistani security forces and society, while it can nurture and protect terrorist groups like the Afghan Taliban and the Haqqani network and the Lashkar-e-Taiba, who carry out terrorist attacks in India and Afghanistan. So you can't really have a pick and choose approach to counterterrorism. And I certainly hope that this is a wake-up call, although I have my doubts if the past is any yardstick. Previous terrorist attacks have led to similar, statements of resolve that we'll take on the terrorist. But really, nothing has changed on the ground. And the problem is that the Pakistani military is the one that makes national security policy, not the civilian government or parliament.
Akhil, let's just stipulate right at the top that 12-year-old children are, by definition, innocent in affairs of this kind. But let me apologize for this question as I ask it.
Yeah.
There's an argument that for the Pakistani government to call this school some kind of daycare center is a distortion of the facts, that it is, in fact, a training center for army officers, and that basically these young people are being trained to kill Taliban. It's a military target. How do you react to that, and how do Pakistanis react to that argument?
Actually, the Pakistan Army runs a network of schools and colleges, as strange as that it sounds, but it has the children of both military officers and civilians. So it's not necessarily a military feeder or training school. It's actually just like any other public school in Pakistan, the difference being that it's run by the army. So that's really it. It's not that the Taliban think that these kids are being trained to join the army, but that is not necessarily the case. There are army officers and whose kids go to these schools, but it's just like a regular school. It's a target for the Taliban because they, I think, wanted to send a signal that we can hit you where it hurts the most. And so, you've hurt our children and our women, and we're gonna strike back, and we're still alive and well.
And that's the message.
Yes.
Akhil Shah is the author of The Army and Democracy, Military Politics in Pakistan. He's currently a visiting professor at Dartmouth University. He grew up in Peshawar. Thanks so much, Akhil.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.